May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks, and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see, thou hast little cause to grieve. Hymn 273.
read from the Holy Word of God, from the book of Exodus and chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Zin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the children of congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, which means, what is this? For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. For some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord, to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. May the Lord help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray that thou mightest feed us this night with that heavenly manna. O Lord, thy dear and beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, give us this day our daily bread, and O Lord, we have partaken of the natural bread for which we are undeserving. It is of thy providence, but O Lord, may we know of thy grace this night to be fed of the precious treasure from heaven. Thou, O Lord Jesus Christ, that hast set forth so beautifully the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. For thou hast come down and shown that God is love. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to help us now by the Spirit, that we may be led out to that right and spiritual understanding of thy word. We may be led by thee to understand the path that thou wouldst call us to, although we may not know all the reasons, but we may understand this, that it is thy calling. For indeed, that is all that we need to understand, that it is thee, a gracious and loving God, that has called us to the way that we walk. And may we be given that grace so to fall before thee and say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. O Lord, we pray for thy help to be upon each one of us as we come before thee now. Pray for our friends, the deacons here, that they would be given that grace and that strength in their responsibilities, in all affairs of the church. Thou hast granted them that help in choosing the hymns, and thy blessing may rest upon them and each of the church and congregation here. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast helped those that have that great trouble and burden upon them. And O Lord, that those that are ill at this time, those who have loved ones who are unwell, or are looking after the children and the little ones, O, we do pray that thy gracious hand may be upon them to help them, especially one in hospital, especially those that are unwell. Some accustomed to come to us from the neighbouring chapel unwell at this time. Do grant our strength to deacon from the neighbouring cause at Friend Stanton, that strengthening and recovery. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to help and watch over those that are away at this time. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant a favour, though, likewise, on all that are in sickness, in hospital, or in distress. But, O Lord, we pray for those that are not here, but could be here, ought to be here indeed. Have no good reason to bring before thee as to why they are not. O Lord, thou knowest if there be any. O Lord, thou knowest if there be any in this village who are walking past the place and considering, should they come? O Lord, do break the snare of Satan, that they may come in to truly worship thee, to seek the truth. O Lord, if there be any that absent themselves for whatever reason, the love of the world or whatever prejudice, thou knowest the heart of any and all. We do pray that thou mightest break any such snares. And, O Lord, there may be that for love's sake, coming to worship thee. And, O Lord, do grant that union and that love one to another may be lengthened out. Indeed, the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. O Lord, deliver from any root of bitterness, pride, prejudice, unbelief. O Lord, we do pray for that grace, that our souls may be healthy in that true spiritual sense, feeding upon thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, walking in union with thee. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant thy favour to rest upon thy people as they gather wherever they be in this world, thy servants that labour and preach, to help those in old age, in infirmity, that are yet labouring in thy name. But, O Lord, raise up more labourers to preach the everlasting gospel. Do raise up pastors over the churches, even here, as in other places that have not a pastor, thou hast be pleased to grant a pastor according to thy holy word. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast help thy one true church through the world, especially those in persecution, imprisoned for the testimony of thy name, those in poverty, in distress, amidst disease, war, those in other lands that we have some connection with, that thou wouldst be pleased to help them. But, O Lord, many in this world do not have a life of ease and comforts, do not have a comfortable place to worship in. Yet, thou dost feed them, thou dost watch over them, thou dost preserve them. Indeed, thou hast shed thy precious blood. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst help each one, especially those that have not the scriptures, that are begging thee that thou mightest open a way for the word to be sent to them, for the word to be translated faithfully into their language. O Lord, we do pray for the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society in that labour in sending forth thy word faithfully. And, O Lord, now we pray, as we have thy word before us, do grant us that true desire to feed upon thee. And we do praise thee that we have thy word. We have a place that we may worship. Oh, that we may have that heart to worship thee as we ought. We may have that touch, that sweet touch of thine, that we may praise thee for thy goodness. And may indeed thy goodness lead us to repentance and in faith to look unto thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 1065. O thou from whom all goodness flows, I lift my heart to thee. In all my sorrows, conflicts, woes, Jesus, remember me. Hymn 1065.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word, to the chapter that we read, Exodus chapter 16, and the last part of verse 15. Exodus 16 and the last part of verse 15. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Children of Israel have been brought out of Egypt, have been brought through the Red Sea. And they were in the wilderness. The Lord had showed them much mercy, had delivered them with the most remarkable signs and deliverances. They had drunk of the waters of Marah that had been made sweet. They had come to Elim where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. But now they came into the wilderness. And the children of Israel murmured. And the Lord then said, the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Here is our first lesson. That this bread that was given unto the Israelites, it was not on a cork count of anything good in themselves, rather the opposite. And as this bread from heaven speaks in a figure type of Christ, can anyone say rightly, indeed they cannot, that we of ourselves deserved to be partakers of Christ, partakers of his grace and his mercy? When we view it this way, how we have to confess, why me, why me? Why was I made to come, to fall at the Lord's feet, rather than to go in the way of the world, to make shipwreck, to live in defiance and rebellion and bitterness against God? Oh, it is all of grace and all of mercy. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Salvation is of the Lord. We spoke this morning concerning, I believe we mentioned this morning about warning that murmuring spirit amidst trials and distress. Yet how many of us have murmured? Yet the Lord in his sovereign grace has not cut us off as our sins deserve. It is all of grace. It is all through the mercy in Christ Jesus. How many times, we could write a book about it, I guess, the times that we have complained and murmured, disbelieved, seen the Lord's answer to prayer, and we've forgotten. Yet the Lord has still not cut us off as our sins deserve. There is yet the manna that comes down. There's yet the blessing of God set before us. Oh, unworthy wretches we are. Should not the goodness of God lead us to repentance? Well, there we see another dividing line between those that truly know God, are wrought upon by the Spirit, and those that do not. We see with so many of the Israelites who, although were Israelites according to the flesh, but were not true Israelites according to the Spirit. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness through unbelief. They saw of the goodness of God and they repented not. They yet provoked the Lord time and again until that generation was at last cut off the only exceptions that entered into the promised land was Caleb and Joshua. And those that were children at the first. But we have in first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, in chapter 10, we have a divinely inspired commentary. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that our fathers were under the cloud, all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, or in the margin, figures, our figures, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And we have then a list of things, the idolatries, the fornications, the tempting, the murmuring. And we read again, now all these things happened unto them for examples, or in the margin, types. And they are written for our admonition, that is, warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. These things speak of Christ, the bread of heaven sent down from above. But we also have, in Paul's divinely inspired commentary upon this account, that it is a warning, and it is a warning to you and to me. Take heed, that him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. There is a warning here. There is both the warning and that precious type of Christ, as we shall come to in the description of the manner. But there is a warning for those that went and gathered in unbelief. So let us consider the manner. We have the description in here. And in various parts of Scripture we know this, it came down from heaven. That heavenly gift or food. We have that set forth in Psalm 78. Although the children of Israel, it wasn't on account of any goodness of themselves. They tempted God, we read. They spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? We read later about God rained down manna upon them to eat. And given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Is that which is heavenly, that was sent down. And so is salvation. So is Christ. Came down from heaven to earth. Took a human nature, body and soul. The eternal Son of God took human nature. He came down, condescended, to be born as the man Christ Jesus, the babe at Bethlehem. That is true church, an unbeknown unto God out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue, may partake of him, except he had come down, except he had humbled himself, become obedient even unto the death of the cross in his sacred humanity. He must fulfill all righteousness. He must suffer, he must bleed and die that he may fulfill all righteousness, fulfill all scripture, lay down his life at Calvary, and rise again and ascend into heaven, now at the right hand of the Father. But it was his condescension, his coming down to this earth. We have the type set forth of the Lord's table, with the breaking of the bread, signifying his broken body. And with the manna that had to be gathered, then it was the various means it was metered, or ground, or baked, or whatever. Even there is a faint type set forth of that intense, terrible suffering that our Lord went through at Gethsemane, in the judgment at Calvary, bearing the sins of his people, bearing the wrath of God the Father, bearing it in his sacred humanity, body and soul, that his people may partake and may be blessed abundantly, blessed with eternal life, blessed with salvation, believing in his precious name, in faith, repenting over their sins. That is the way. That is the way that leadeth unto eternal life, and the Lord has drawn every one who shall call upon his name in spirit and in truth. And if in your heart you feel that great desire to call upon him, Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, I would feed upon thee. Is that not the work of the Spirit within? The devil often tempts people to ask this question, well, unless I know I'm elected, unless I know I'm one of the elect, I can't come unto him and pray. Well, does it say that in the Bible? It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is what the Bible says. It is true that it is the work of grace, but we should not try to, as it were, understand the secret counsel of God. But we should rather see what is revealed of God in his holy word, rather than try to understand what is not revealed. Rather to read in God's word that which is revealed, and to give God the honour that he has spoken. He has spoken precious promises to those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, to those that are poor and afflicted, to those who desire that they would see Jesus, the lepers that come to him, the unclean that come to him and are healed, the repenting publicans to whom salvation comes to their house, the promises, seek and ye shall find, the promises to the thirsty to come, without money or price, come to the heavy laden, the burdened over their sins, the burdened over all that is about them, all the troubles that are before them cast down. The promises are to come. And we've noticed that this manna, it came round about the camp. And it wasn't afar off, at a far distance, a far country that only the fittest and the strongest could manage, leaving behind the weak and the feeble to starve, or fend for themselves with something else in the wilderness. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that was lay was gone up, Behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. Even the weakest who go forth. I said, it was not to have to go a far distance, climb a great mountain, sound the great depths. The Lord had come down. Is that not precious to those, indeed all of the Lord's people, are brought to repentance? I have to come to this, that how can I come? How can I stagger on? How can I go on any further? To find that there is the manna. We have not to go in our own strength a long journey. The Lord has come down. Oh, that the Lord would grant an increase of faith to many more in our nation and other lands, according to this holy will, may see the preciousness of the Lord coming down to dwell amongst men. That we do not have to do great feats, great works of penance, great exploits, have ever so many exercises this way, that way, but to believe. How precious it was that Ethiopian eunuch, he was seeking to know of whom the prophet spake. And when the Lord answered that prayer, because he was seeking, the Lord sent his servant Philip to him. He was diligent in the reading of the scriptures, and the Lord will honour that. And Philip preached unto him Jesus, and showed that it was Jesus, the Lamb of God. It was Jesus of whom Isaiah spoke, the Saviour, the work of redemption. And the eunuch believed. And they came to that water. And he said, "What? See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And that charge was given unto the eunuch. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." How precious, the simple and profound is the gospel. The devil would try to make it ever so complicated. Try to give you all sorts of things, hoops, as it were, you have to go through, and hurdles to jump over, and things to go under. Oh, but when all these things are cleared away, and we see a precious Christ, how beautiful it is when we have the account of the publican that came to the temple. He could only smite upon his breast and say, "Lord, have mercy upon me." But he went home to his house justified. The one who said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Oh, the Lord granted him his desire. The one that said, "Lord, help me." The Lord did help. "Lord, have mercy upon me." The Lord did have mercy. "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." The bread of heaven sent down from above. The Lord Jesus Christ, who took human nature and body and soul. We also think of the bread at the Lord's table. We perhaps digressed. I must apologise, but to come back to the subject of the bread, the breaking of the bread symbolising the breaking of his body, and that doing in remembrance of him. And every one who has a good hope in him, who in that measure given unto them, believe upon the name of the Lord, with hope, in faith, and in love. In that measure given unto them, can say like the eunuch, "I believe with all the heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." the Saviour, the Messiah. Well, according to Scripture, it is scriptural that we should be baptised and partake of the Lord's Supper as a testimony and as a witness in doing it in remembrance of him, to his honour and glory. But let us consider the breaking of the bread. And as I've observed, it was very precious to me to consider this. That when one takes the plate and there is a piece of bread, there are no crumbs. But there are crumbs when the bread is broken. They fall. And there, after we've partaken of the supper, there are the crumbs. And it is as the Lord's body was broken. There are those crumbs that came down. Now that Syrophoenician woman was given that faith and that understanding. Truth, Lord, yea, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She was unworthy. She was but a dog. In our culture, dogs are pampered and treated as pets. You go to other countries, other lands, they are viewed like they were in Bible times, as almost vermin. Yet, the woman was not so proud to say, no, I'm not a dog. I'm not as bad as that. But she confessed her unworthiness, but saw that the dogs partake of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And now we see the grace of God, the love of God, that through sending forth this only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer, his body to be broken, the Eternal Son delighting to do the will of the Eternal Father, and the Holy God, the Holy Spirit, the Eternal Spirit, revealing these precious truths to unworthy believers, showing that God is love. There we see the love of God in Christ's sufferings, that we should be delivered from that eternal suffering in hell. That we should be delivered, that we may know the love of God and union and communion with God by the Spirit. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. The Lord said, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Except we partake by faith, believing in repentance, in humility, upon the work of Christ, as the bread of heaven sent down from above, his sufferings, his shed blood, there can be no life. The children of Israel in the wilderness, in the Old Testament, they partook of the outward type. So many of them did not partake in faith. Alas, in our day, I do not judge any here, but I must give it as a warning. As indeed, as we read in 1 Corinthians 10, these things are given as an admonition, a warning. So we cannot preach from this text without giving a warning. But in our nation, let us take our nation as a whole. There are many places of worship still in this land, and people that go. But how many are truly partaking in Christ, spiritually? They might partake of the outward form, the singing of the hymns, or the music, or the entertainment, or their friends are there, the family are there. They might watch some ceremony or bow down or in front of some idol or whatever. Or we might come here even and have no intention in our heart of truly worshipping God. we have in 1 Corinthians 10 and Psalm 78 and elsewhere in the scriptures, that warning against those that lusted, that even ate of those things, but they did so in unbelief. Had the form and the appearance, but not the reality. Indeed, here we see it is not according to the flesh that we must receive Christ. It is spiritual. We must feed upon him spiritually. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. For even the Jews in Christ's day, they thought that he literally said about his flesh and his blood. But our Lord said, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They're spiritual. And it is most needful that we be spiritually minded if we are to receive life in Christ Jesus, in the name of Christ. But what a precious encouragement and promise to prayer. When the Lord said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask him? Do these things move you to prayer? They should do. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Are you partaking of that heavenly bread in the Spirit? Well, let us consider a description of this manna, bread. Well, it came down as a gift of God. And you notice in here that it was first given on the first day of the week. And we had the six days. There was twice as much on the sixth, and then there was none provided on the Jewish Sabbath. In our manner of naming the day is the Saturday, the first day of the week. The Lord's Day was when the manna was first given. To add to the long list of blessings that were given on the first day, the day in which our Lord rose from the dead, the day of Pentecost, the morrow after the Sabbath, when the Spirit was given, the day of creation when the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light, the day in which the Lord appeared unto the disciples and showed them his hands and his feet, when he appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus in distress and confusion, with their hearts burnt within them. They were heading away from Jerusalem, but when the Lord had appeared to them, they had to turn back. They had to come back and tell to the disciples that they'd seen the Lord. Well, there are many precious things that happened on the Lord's Day, and this is one of them, the first giving of the manna. But we read some descriptions of the manna. We read it perhaps more fully in Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. The manna was as coriander seed, and the colour thereof as the colour of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. It was fresh. Well, that is a precious blessing of the gospel when we're spiritually partaking. There's a freshness. There's a delight in that freshness. That there is, when we are spiritually minded, there should be no tiring of communion with Christ, communion with God. If there is a weariness, with worship, a weariness with the Bible, a weariness in coming to God's house, weariness with prayer, it is because we're not in the Spirit. And indeed, the children of Israel complained, as we read in Numbers 11, they complained about the manna. They lusted after those things that they'd had in Egypt. They thought about the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. What an insult to God. There is nothing but this heavenly gift. There is nothing but this which speaks of Christ. Well, many places of worship up in the land sadly have gone aside to all manner of entertainments, reasoning that if they just stuck to the Bible and so on, the place wouldn't have anybody there to worship. Or the ungodly unbelievers in the congregation would simply leave. Right, indeed, this is a vicious circle. Once you start trying to entertain people to keep them in the place of worship, you end up with a church, if you could call it as such, full of unbelievers. And the only way of keeping unbelievers in a stated church is to have entertainments and worldliness. And so it goes on. We must never turn aside to that which is worldly, of Egypt. What a provocation to God when they said, our soul is dried away, there is nothing at all beside this manna. Day by day, there was the manna. Didn't change. And I can't come with another gospel, nor can any of the Lord's servants. Cannot come with another Christ. We live in a day when everybody wants something new. A new Bible, a new Christ, a new form of worship, a new religion, whatever it is. Behold, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The blessing is through holding fast to the one Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord endureth forever. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And may our souls be ravished by the love of God in Christ Jesus, ravished with a communion with him. But indeed, if we say, what a weariness is it? Our soul is dried away. There's nothing else but the doctrine of Christ. Oh, if we are the Lord's, the Lord will bring us into much chastening on account of that. But it'll be mercy to be chastened out of it. And may we take heed lest we fall, is not the admonition here as well? There was that church referred to in one of the seven churches of Asia. I cannot remember whether it's Ephesus or Laodicea, but one, I think it was Ephesus, it was said that they had forsaken their first love. Another was increased with goods and had need of nothing. Rich in the things of this world, advanced greatly and so on and so forth, but they had left the one thing needful. Their affections had been drawn away. Well, we have need of that, do we not? And as we start off as children, we do not have, well, as a babe, has no possessions in this world. And gradually we accumulate this and that and more things. And as we get older and get married and so on, and have houses and cars and families, if the Lord will, and jobs and careers and pensions and so on and so forth, we gather more and more. More and more is the snare and the temptation to forsake our first love. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Not all the flesh pots of Egypt, but Christ. And is that not a snare in our present day? Affluence. I don't make myself popular by saying these things, but nor did the prophets of old. Nor is it very comfortable for me to say it myself, personally. There's far too much of the love of this world about us for our spiritual good. We live in a day of affluence and ease and comforts of the flesh. But alas, in a day when we are little in prayer, when too often we trust in an arm of flesh rather than in the Lord. And this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat, Christ. Oh, shall we not rejoice to partake in him? There's the freshness, the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. There's the oil, fresh oil. That speaks of the anointing. Oil is set forth in Scripture very often as a type of the Holy Spirit. Oil, olive. And how the Holy Spirit comes forth through the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered and rose again, ascended into heaven. And the fullness of the Spirit was given forth. Now in the Old Testament we read that the oil that was used to be burnt in the tabernacle was the oil olive, pure oil olive, beaten for the light. It was beaten, bruised, that the oil may flow forth. That speaks of Christ in time. Through his sufferings, we receive of that precious anointing of the Spirit. It is through his sufferings and then through his resurrection and his entering into the Holy of Holies, standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, we receive of his grace and mercy by God the Holy Spirit. The manna, the taste of fresh oil. We also read in this chapter 16 of its sweetness, of honey. It is sweet. Oh, how sweet it is to taste of the mercy and the love of God in Christ Jesus. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. But let us speak for a few moments in conclusion as well concerning the path that the Lord has called us to walk in. If we are to partake in him, we must walk with him. And indeed, the children of Israel, as we read in 1 Corinthians 10, did all eat the same spiritual meat. There wasn't one form of manna for one and another form for another. As it were, an equality. So it is in the church. We all feed upon the same Christ. And should that not move us to love one another as Christ loved us? Should that not move us to walk tenderly one with another, in humility one with another, if we are partaking of Christ? Should that not teach us of the evil of pride? If ye walk in the light as he is in the light, ye have fellowship one with another. The blood of Christ cleanseth you from all iniquity and sin. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. There's that partaking of that spiritual food, Christ, who is the light of the world. Then there is a fellowship one with another. And if there isn't a true fellowship, well, it indicates that we're not feeding upon Christ as we ought, does it not? One may say, well, it must be him. I can't get on with him. Well, is it you or me? Let us have that spirit of humility. If there be that partaking of Christ spiritually, then there'll be a union, a blessed union within the church and congregation, a fellowship. Many places you might see the title of the place of worship, it says fellowship, or there's a fellowship meeting, or we had fellowship together. Well, the only fellowship that is recognised in the scriptures in that true spiritual sense, as if you walk in the light as he is in the light. Fellowship isn't created by youth clubs, meetings or anything else. It is through Christ and Christ alone. It's not to say that we should never speak to one another or be dour, rude, discourteous or any such thing. That was the spirit of the Pharisees. Imperious, looking down on others, holier than thou. That's not the spirit of Christ. Let us walk the middle way, that right way, the narrow way, neither turning to the right hand nor to the left. If we are to walk with Christ, we are to have fellowship with him in his sufferings. We said this morning, it is a pathway of tribulation we're called to walk in, but as for God, his way is perfect. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat, the way that we must walk, that which the Lord has provided for us, both in grace and in providence. We are exhorted to be content with such things as we have. Be content. That doesn't mean to say to be content with that which is unscriptural. Be content with that which is disorderly. Be content with a form of religion that falls short of the power thereof. Nothing of the kind. But particularly refers to matters in providence. Or indeed in that calling that the Lord has given you. Or those gifts that the Lord has given you. You can always look at somebody else and say, I wish I had that person's gifts and calling. Well, it would it not be better if we sought humbly to know the calling of God for us individually and be content with that and be faithful in that which the Lord has called us unto, not to be always looking for some other way, whether, well, whatever nature of that calling it be. If it is the call of God, it is well that we walk in it. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. It may be a pathway of affliction and trouble and distress. But as we sought to speak this morning, oh, do not these things bring us to prayer, to teach us, to lay hold upon the precious Christ, to trust in him, whereas we would have just been trusting in our own riches and ease and comforts and forgetting God. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Let us be satisfied with the call of God, the place where God has placed us in, the calling that he has placed us in. Children of Israel were always hankering after either going back to Egypt or having something else to eat. Or some of them wanted to be the greatest rather than, Moses wasn't the greatest, but they thought, they looked at him that way. He was the meekest of men. But he was called to be, in that sense, the leader of Israel. Ultimately, their leader was Christ. God the Son, as shown by the cloudy, fiery pillar, but Israel was led by the hand of Moses and Aaron. They were always discontent, murmuring about something. And may we take heed, as Paul wrote in the Corinthians, that we should take heed to these things given unto us as examples, to whom the ends of the world are come, that we may follow Christ, our souls be ravished and satisfied in him, and indeed in his calling, and them that honour God, he will honour. Them that honour me, I will honour, saith the Lord. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £740, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, and we hope he'll address the Sunday School in the afternoon. And God willing, there'll be a trustee meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. Hymn 927.
Now, O Lord, we do beg for thy favour and blessing as we part. Do take us to our homes in peace and safety, we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.